be my prince? Is he the toad? Waiting, wondering, is getting too old. I'm gonna let down my hair, slide up my skirt. Get me up, be the biggest little flirt. Well, I might.
Welcome to the Shame Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
I'm your host, Veronica Monet. Got an interesting topic tonight and an interesting guest. His name is Destin Garrix, and he claims to be the original erotic rock star. Now, we've already started the conversation on Facebook, and interestingly enough, a lot of people are getting confused about the word erotic rock star and are telling me about their favorite bands. And that's okay. We could talk about that. But actually, this particular erotic rock star is a California state-certified somatic sexologist. He's certified through the Institute for the Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, and he's an erotic empowerment coach. We're going to have him explain that to us in a little bit, and also a performance artist. If you happen to go over to his website, eroticrockstar.com, which I also have posted over on Facebook, you'll see that he very definitely has a performance style. Not to mention some amazing apps. So without further ado, Destin Garrix, welcome to the Shame Free Zone.
Thank you, Veronica. I like that introduction and my abs. Thank you as well.
Fabulous. Do you eat a raw food diet or just do a lot of sit-ups?
Neither. However, I just finished a 7-day juice cleanse. So I do pay a lot of attention to my body. But I have throughout my life. So,
Have an impact on your sex life, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'd say the biggest aspect being around confidence in that, you know, I give a lot of attention to my body and I give a lot of love to my body, and with that has come a lot of love for my body. And being in that place being in that shame-free zone around my body, I really feel has added to the quality of my body, because I work on my body because I love it versus I work on my body because I feel shame around it and I need to do this in order to fight my shame, which just feeds the shame.
Hmm.
So pour the love in, be good to your body, and you'll see positive results.
Yeah, I like that. Before we go into tonight's topic, if you have something to say about some tips on how to love your body, I think that's a huge deal for a lot of women and more men all the time, because we have gotten exposed to a lot of media, which is kind of like putting up these ideals, and when people don't measure up to that, sometimes it's really hard for them to love their body. So what would you say to our listeners about that?
Well, it starts really with making the decision, like deciding now, from this moment forward, I am going to start to love my body more and more. And recognize the way I phrase that. Start to love your body more and more. It's not necessarily, though it could be, but it's not necessarily going to be an instant, now I suddenly have absolute and total love and acceptance of my body. However, if you make that commitment that starting from today, I'm taking step-by-step movements towards loving my body more and more, I mean, never underestimate the impact that step-by-step incremental change can make.
Hmm. And what are some of the things that you do to love your body? Do you do dance or yoga?
I love dancing. I love dancing. I would say that my abs, if I were to put it on one thing, it's dancing and sex. Well, I suppose it's two things, dancing and sex. But really, I mean, they're so interrelated.
Well, that is way cool. Now, I'm looking here at your bio, and which I pulled off of your website, and I see actually that you own your own production company, the Erotic Rockstar Productions, where you are creating top-notch erotic media that depicts sex as its highest expression of what it can be. Does that mean that you are also a porn producer or a porn actor?
You can call it that. I tend to be a little, I waver a little bit on the use of the word porn because it carries such connotations already. It's why I don't call myself Destin Garrick porn star and rather coin the term erotic rock star because I feel like that's a lot more of what I embody. I wanted to create and embody a new archetype. Like, you know, people walking around with porn star t-shirts or what can I say or not say on your show?
Oh, you can say anything you want. This is adult.
Oh, good. It's the same for you, though. I fucked like a porn star and things like that, and I'm like, I cringe at that thought. I don't want to fuck like a porn star. I can do better than that.
I hear you, and amen. Why set your sights so low?
Yeah, exactly, and it's not an ideal that I want to strive for nor portray. So instead, I feel I can do better. I do better, and so I'm putting forward a different, you know, something else to strive towards. And this is part of what the Erotic Rockstar really means to me.
Now, do you sell DVDs?
We're in the process. We're actually. We're in capital raising mode at the moment,
wow.
Which is oh so much fun.
So, if you listeners
want to invest in an incredible vision for new erotic visual media, hey, contact us. We're seeking investors, and you're going to love what you get from it.
I want to know what your vision is. Like, are you familiar with the Comstock films?
Yeah, I am familiar with Comstock the only way. I like what they're doing. I just have a different flavor.
Right. Well, I would assume that you did, but I was thinking they might resonate with you a little bit. So how would you differ from them? Because they're very much about people that are in love.
Yes, and I love that aspect. I would say if we had one commonality, that would be it. I love love. I am. I'm an intimacy junkie. I'm in love myself at the moment.
Yes, I saw that on your Facebook page, but it's an open relationship, apparently.
It is, yes, which is...
Which just caused a whole bunch of women on Facebook and our listeners to have a little hope again.
It is an extremely committed open relationship, and our love is really deep, and she's an incredible woman and my match and my equal, and
wow.
What more can a man really ask for? So I would say, like, as far as what is it that really sets Erotic Rockstar Productions as a video production company apart, really has to do with the fact that it's a fully connected experience. Your average porn videos are more about the performance than anything else. They tend to be focused on big tits, huge cocks, and very little substance. The people involved in it, more often than not, tend to be pretty disembodied. They're doing what they're supposed to do for the camera to get the best angle, the best shot, not necessarily what's really feeling the best in their bodies. And often doesn't really look like they're really in their bodies.
No, it doesn't.
No. And like the men, it's questionable as to who is exploited more in the porn industry, the women or the men. Because, like, the men are often just little more than stunt cocks. And I very seldom seen a man in porn who really looked like he was fully enjoying himself. More often than not, they just seem to have these, like, grimaces on their faces while they're jackhammering away. And then maybe let out, while they're coming.
It's sad. A lot of guys have more fun sneezing or taking a shit. I'm sorry, but they do.
It's true.
I don't usually get this where I fall into the shame free zone, but you're inspiring me. but it is true. I mean, and so that's kind of a nice segue, actually, into the whole idea about you being an erotic empowerment coach. Do you find that a lot of people are disembodied, not just porn stars, but you know, the people that come to you for help, do you find that they're also disembodied when it comes to their sex lives?
Yeah, it's pretty core in the work that I do. You know, we live in an era where so many of us spend such a large percentage of our day either sitting at our desk in front of a computer, sitting behind the wheel of a car, or sitting on the couch in front of a television. And you put those three things together, you've got a lot of hours of the day for, you know, most of us. So the challenges that come with that is that you're not really engaging your body, and your brain is just going, you know? And then all of a sudden, we're in bed with a lover, and we're supposed to not be like that. We're supposed to be present, and we're supposed to be, you know, having this bodily pleasurable experience. It doesn't really work very well. Instead, so many of us are just like stuck in our heads through the whole sexual experience. And so more and more of a focus in our, in sex, like in our culture, has become more and more about fantasy. And don't get me wrong, fantasy can be great and it can be imbalanced. You know, there can be imbalances towards just being up in your head and, you know, about the ideas of what's pleasurable versus what's actually pleasurable in your bodies.
And I think that's really a reconnection with what where we start off. You know, I mean, they've recently proven through ultrasound that fetuses, both male and female fetuses, are masturbating to the point of orgasm while they're still in utero, while they're in the womb, which really does highlight the fact that human sexuality is not tied to things like porn or visual images or fantasies. It's not even tied to relationships. You know, it may be nice to connect it to those things, but I think, you know, when you're trying to get people back into their bodies, it's nice to remind them that, you know, you started life in your body very much, and you didn't have to have a fantasy about a particular scenario in order to receive pleasure.
Yeah, you got it. You got it exactly. And so getting back to the whole thing about the video projects that I'm working on, really, it's centered in three things, and that's the sexual heat and passion, of, you know, so the sex center being really open, as well as a strong connection to spirit, to the divine, to that sacred spiritual union, and then for both of those points to be centered through the heart, through intimacy, through love and connection. So to me, what makes the distinction between like sex, good sex, and mind-blowing, you know, amazing sex, is that fully open, passionate connection of your sex, the divine connection, and the connection of intimacy or heart, love connection. And so it's bringing those three aspects together that I'm capturing and really bringing forward to the world.
Well, let's back up just a smidge here, because I want to go back and define this whole term erotic rock star. And I love that you're going with that instead of porn star. But I'm going to go to Facebook and read a couple of comments. We've got one of the questions I asked is, what kind of fantasies or stereotypes does the phrase conjure for you? And Hannah Dalton says, an actual rock star like Lenny Kravitz. And then we've got the question was the same thing. What is an erotic star to you? Rock star to you? And we've got Jeff Broham says, well, I'm a strange one. Elastica is the band, and Talented Rock and Babes, they are. Guess I'm attracted most to talent and prose and success. And Fox Ultrafil says, an erotic rock star loves women. Hence, I am one. So as you see, we've got a little bit of confusion out there. It looks like the rock star thing actually conjures musical icons for some people.
Well, clearly that makes sense. I mean, that's sort of where the whole thing stemmed from. But I mean, the term rock star today doesn't really mean what it used to. You know, yes, it originated from like the musician, the rock star of like the 70s, really getting that going. But today, I mean, party like a rock star. You know, rock star is a lifestyle. Rock star is a way of being. And, you know, that's really what I bring forward. And I don't just, like, bring it forward with, like, words or messages. Really, it's just how I live my life. and it's been a step-by-step embodiment. Like, really, the erotic rock star in the first place was my own erotic exploration. My own exploration of what my ideal sexual self would look like, would be like. And I created this erotic rock star archetype, and I started playing with them, and then started like, and you know, it was very foreign to me at first. It was. I was not the erotic rock star when I first had the idea of the erotic rock star, but I just kept playing with it, and you know, I just started stepping into him in deeper and deeper and more and more powerful ways.
Well, as you said, it has everything to do with the way you live your life. How is it that you live your life?
Full on.
Huh?
Full on.
Full on.
Yes, in all
aspects. Okay, well, give us an example.
Whether...
You said you went shopping for lingerie today. Give us an example of a typical day in an erotic rock star's life. How'd you live today?
How did I live today? Well, today I ran around with my lover here in L.A., which is not the lover that I was speaking of earlier. But
okay, so point number one, an erotic rock star, although in a committed, loving relationship, probably has another lover.
I do have another lover, yes, but I do not think that's what makes me an erotic rock star, personally. I would say that more of what makes me an erotic rock star is the fact that they both feel fully taken care of. They both feel fully, you know, well, loved. Like I asked Brandy, my woman here, about this one time. I was like, you know, knowing that you're not my primary woman in my life, like, what is it you really get out of this? Like, why are you here with me? And she said, you know, when we're together, you're here with me 100%.
Hmm.
I have your full presence every moment that we're together, and that's far more than you get for most guys, even if you're the only woman in their lives.
So, point number two about being an erotic rock star, the focus is on the people that you love, not on your own ego.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so I think that's great, too. Okay, so
yeah, you got it.
The two of you went shopping for lingerie.
Yeah, and at the same time, we were actually, it was a dual mission, which is often how I live my life, of pleasure and business. Where we were lingerie shopping, but we were promoting this week-long couples retreat that I'm doing with Serena, my primary lover, in Costa Rica in July, called Divine Worship and Sweet Surrender: The Power of Giving and Receiving. And so yeah, it's a week-long couples retreat in Dominical, Costa Rica. And I'm really, really, really super stoked about that, excited. So ran around all day today, shopping and putting out cards and promoting. What?
When is that going to be?
It's July 6th through 13th. And hey,
okay.
Listen, you can check that out at sexyretreats.com. So it's easy to remember, just sexyretreats.com. It's a really gorgeous website.
Do you do a lot of those?
One to two a year. One to two a year, and you know, this is a big one. I'm really, really excited about it, and you know, hey Veronica, I'd love to have you there.
So what are you going to be teaching there?
Sure. Well, really, the whole week is an experiential exploration of some of these things that I've put forward already in this call around that dropping deeper into your sexual passions, as well as opening your heart further to stronger, deeper, intimate connection, and as well as strengthening that connection to the divine, which really, I mean, just your connection to the universe, the, like, all that is. You're, you know, it's not tied to any particular belief system or certainly not any particular religion, but rather just your connection to all that is. And through that, and how sexual union can be such a powerful path to connect deeper with your lover and the divine simultaneously. And so through the week, what we're doing is exploring, separating out the roles for 3 days, let's just put it concretely, the male will step deeper and deeper into the role of giver, of service, of worshiper, of adorer, while the woman steps deeper and deeper into her goddess self, receiving, being adored, being worshipped, opening, simply being. And then we swap roles. And he's stepping deeper and deeper into his God self, allowing himself to be fully being served, receiving, opening, being adored. Mm. And she's stepping deeper and deeper into the role of service, giving, adoring, worshiping.
Wow, it sounds delicious. And for the people that are on Facebook,
it's powerful. I can't imagine any couple joining us and not walking away having the most powerful experience of their relationship.
Completely blessed out, I would think. I just posted that to Facebook for those of you who are on Facebook right now, sexyretreats.com. And please go check out the website and then call in right now so you can talk to Destin live at 530-413-4515. That's 530-413-4515. We're live in the shame-free zone, and you can call up and talk to the erotic rock star yourself right now. You don't have to wait until Costa Rica. I think like everybody's going to Costa Rica. What is up with that? Is there a vortex or a sacred spot down there or what?
Oh, it definitely seems to be some sort of vortex. This is my first time going to Costa Rica, though it's my lover Serena's second time going.
Wow.
And, you know, it's a biodiversity hotspot of the planet, incredible rainforests and, you know, waterfalls, and it's an incredibly gorgeous place. And another reason why a lot of people go there is that it's very English friendly. So, you know, it's not a particularly challenging place to be a tourist or to be a traveler.
Oh, cool. So you can get the remote sensation without feeling completely disoriented and like you can't talk to anybody.
There you go.
Well, it sounds like it would be appealing for those of us who are linguistically handicapped like myself. I only speak one language. Is this a really expensive retreat?
Well, everything's relative, wouldn't you say?
It is,
We've done everything that we can to keep the costs down while filling it out and including as much as we possibly can to make it more than just, oh, here's a bare bones trip, here, join us there, we'll, you know, talk to you every now and then, and then you just run around and do your own thing. Like, it's very all-inclusive, full-on experience where every step of the way, like every moment of your time there, whether you're in our actual beautiful, like, open-walled workshop space or you're out alone with your partner, it's still, like, every step of it ends up being a part of the journey.
Mm.
And so it's really, really beautiful and really incredible. We're also doing these horsebacking rides up to these waterfalls and with a hike there, and these canopy tours with, like, zip lines through the, like, top levels of the treetops and the rainforest.
Oh, my God.
Really incredible. Yeah.
Wow.
If you like adventure, join us.
So this is not only a sacred sex tour, but it's going to be a little bit of Jeff Corwin, too. So tell me a little bit about sacred sex. Now, we've actually talked about sacred sex quite a few times here on the Shame-Free Zone, but everybody's got a little bit of a take on what that exactly means, and I'm wondering how much Tantra you use, or if you associate your work with Tantra at all, or can you just kind of give the listeners a little explanation of what sacred sex is for you?
Yeah, yeah. I do consider my work to have a lot to do with Tantra. It's very influenced by Tantra. It's just, it's more than that. I use the more general term sacred sexuality because I feel like it's more all-inclusive. Tantra comes from a particular lineage of spiritual tradition from India from like 5,000-6,000 years ago. But then there are aspects of Taoist sexuality that really bring in strong, you know, spiritual perspectives to sexuality. And then, you know, it's like, I know that me personally, I don't work with a single, like, dogma. It doesn't work for me. And I don't really expect it from the people that I'm speaking to or presenting to either. Like, you're on your own unique path. It's yours. It's yours. It's not mine. It's not some other guru's. It's yours, and I believe that we live in an age where we have access to ideas from all over the world throughout history that take influences and try things on and feel what really resonates for you and what doesn't leave behind.
No, I couldn't agree more. It's actually gotten to be pretty dangerous to say the word Tantra anymore. I used to reference Tantra in my material, but now there are so many competing camps for who's got the one true tantric path that I don't even like to get in the middle of that argument. So sacred sex has become a much broader term that I think bypasses all of that dogma and all of that political whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and I don't know if you read Jenny Wade's book. Jenny Wade wrote a book called Transcendent Sex, and what I loved about that was she had gone out and interviewed people who had absolutely no sex training, didn't know a thing about Tantra, and they had just had these spontaneous sexual experiences that catapulted them into a spiritual realm in one way or another. Sometimes they had an experience with a spiritual guide. Sometimes they saw their totem animals. Sometimes they got clarity on what they were supposed to do with the rest of their life. And other times it was just a really peak sexual experience. But it was just, you know.
I feel like I've had all those.
Huh?
I said I feel like I've had all those.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And these were people who they weren't expecting it, you know. So for a lot of them, it really blew their mind. But I think it's really, you know, sacred sex is something that's accessible to everyone, and it was meant to be accessible to everyone. But of course, so many of us are shut down out of our bodies that we don't know that. So getting back to erotic empowerment, since that is how you coach people, can you tell us a little bit about some of the steps that you take to help people get back into their bodies and become erotically empowered?
The work that I do, I have a coaching program that I work with called Comprehensive Erotic Evolution, or Unleashing Your Inner Erotic Rockstar. And it really starts from gaining clarity as to what your particular ideal connection to your sexual self would look like, what it would be like. So imagine an alternate reality in which in this world there was no shame, there was no fear, there was no guilt, none of these things associated with sex or sexuality at all. If you can even imagine such a reality. And in this reality, this version of you has your ideal connection to your sexual self, a connection free of all those things, in which your connection to your sexuality is simply one of radiating it out from your being, radiating out as simply my sexuality is part of my gift of being a human being, letting it flow, not acting out, but simply radiating it from your being. And so I work with some processes that I've developed using things like guided visualization, NLP or neuro-linguistic programming, as well as some other coaching techniques to help people really gain this clarity as to who this being, who this persona would be. And then we carve out a path on how to step deeper and deeper into being that person. But if you can't see it, you can't be it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you use some somatic techniques, correct?
Yes, somatic techniques, for those who haven't heard, I'm assuming you talk about them, they basically just mean body-based techniques. And I'd say that the biggest aspects that I bring attention to in regards to somatics is your breath and how incredibly powerful your breath can be as a tool for greater embodiment, as a tool for connecting into your erotic energy and moving that erotic energy, and ultimately, well, as a tool for better sex, even as a tool for doing things like releasing shame, working with, you know, to put it very simply, but again, you know, like through the work that I do, we go through a more in-depth process of doing so, but simply by doing simple things like working with slow, deep breathing and visualizing that as you're making your long exhales, you are releasing shame from your body. You are releasing guilt from your body. You are releasing fear from your body. And if you continually play with that, continue those practices of as you're breathing in, what are you breathing in to replace that shame? Veronica, what might you or your listeners want to replace that shame with?
Well, you know, I loved what I saw in one of my puppies. She had absolutely no shame. There was this really just bold way that she would squat to pee, and the way she'd just run around, she was just like, she just loved her body. And I have to say, growing up as a female in this culture, that I always kind of had like more like, oh, well, I better cover it up, or it's, you know, or it's sexual. It couldn't just be assertive. So I think maybe like tying it to the idea of it just being, you know, like the body just being good, and it doesn't have to mean anything.
So maybe we could start with things like self-acceptance or self-love. So we'll play with those for a moment. So as you're breathing in, you can visualize it as like some sort of color. Give it a color. Some people like using like white or like a white light. Other people like using a different color. Maybe like your purple, your favorite color, like purple or red or whatever.
I got turquoise for some reason.
There you go. Maybe turquoise.
Yes.
And,
I think it's because I'm staring at that turquoise little bubble you're balancing there. But but anyway, I got turquoise. Yes. Okay, I'm with you.
So as you breathe in, you can visualize or see this turquoise entering into your body. You may want to see it coming in through your breath passages, through your nose, through your mouth as it's coming in, or you might want to see it as like coming through the top of your head. Which, you know, the top of the head is also where, like, the crown chakra is located. And so it seems like your connection to the divine. So as you breathe in, see this white or turquoise or whatever color light coming into your body as you breathe in. And then as you exhale, see that shame, that guilt, that fear leaving your body. And you can visualize that as whatever would really work for you. So you just see it as like a soot, like a black, like thick cloud that's like some sort of or maybe a green noxious cloud. It's just like poison that's leaving your body as you exhale, seeing it leave. And, you know, this may seem, for some people listening, you might be like, okay, yeah, visualize, blah, 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 whatever. But, you know, I am really big on, I'm not one for theory. I love theory, but only theory that's grounded in like, real experience. To know something, it's not, you can't know something simply by hearing it. To really know something, you have to have some sort of lived experience. So, try this on. That's all I'm asking you. Try this on. Play with this practice. Again, simply, as you breathe in, visualize, see in your mind's eye, imagine this white or turquoise or whatever colored light coming in through the top of your head, and as you're exhaling, this soot, this noxious cloud of shame or guilt, whatever you want to be releasing, leaving your body. And play with it for just like 5 minutes, like once a day for a week, and share your results. So share it on Veronica's Facebook page or my own. We'd love to hear about it.
No, I like that. I actually, not working around sexual shame, but working around some childhood blocks with another healer, did visualization. I know this stuff is very powerful stuff. I mean, it can actually, if you're ready, if you've done all the other work, you know, because let's face it, we really have to be working a lot of different levels. But if you're primed, things like that can really just give you that tipping point that you need in order to go to the next stage.
Yeah,
and speaking of next stages, I see here that you also offer orgasmic mastery to men. Now, I want to play devil's advocate before you get into that and just help us understand what orgasmic mastery for men is about. It seems like there's an awful lot of pressure on men to sustain erections, to be performance-oriented, and doesn't the whole idea of being, you know, investing in orgasmic mastery just kind of play to that whole idea that men are nothing but a hard penis?
I'm glad that you raised that, because one thing I definitely don't want to be adding to that idea. One thing that I find really unique about the orgasmic mastery course that I teach versus a lot of these other things around premature ejaculation or pleasing a woman sexually or all these things around how men often teach other men about sex is that, yes, there is a lot in there that you can really bring in to make yourself a better lover so that, you have a more sexually satisfied woman. However, it's all also really rooted in the men also learning to be able to experience more pleasure themselves sexually. I am very pro pleasure. Very, very, very pro pleasure. And I'm very pro a man's pleasure as well, you know. Like, being a man, to be honest, I learned how to be a great giver of pleasure first. I wanted to be a good man. I wanted to be a good lover. And so, like, you know, I did everything I could to learn how to make a woman come, make her, you know, have multiple orgasms, teach her how to have squirting orgasms, experience things in her body she never knew were possible, and all this stuff, which is wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I'm really glad I went there. But over time, like by the time I was in my late 20s, I noticed that I was starting to feel resentful because these women that I was getting sexually involved with were having these incredible sexual experiences that were blowing their mind, and like I was enjoying their experience, but
right.
It was always about their experience.
Right.
And
I worked as an escort for about 14 years, and one of the things that really got me about men was they would spend a lot of money to learn about female anatomy and how to please women sexually. And yet, as far as being able to show up for their own sexual pleasure, it's like they didn't have a clue. And a lot of times they were very homophobic. They were afraid to have their nipples aroused, afraid that anything might go up their prostate, you know, because that could mean they were gay. And it was like, don't touch me here and don't touch me there because I don't feel anything. And, you know, like you said, a lot of times the orgasm kind of sounded like, you know, not much more than a burp. And I think all what we hear in this culture is men love sex, men love sex. And I think, well, they don't seem to be enjoying it much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, our larger culture helps perpetuate that in a lot of ways, in that, you know, the basic running idea is that any guy can come, therefore he's fine. And yeah, most any guy can ejaculate, but you know, the more men that I work with, the more men that I speak to, the more I get the sense that, like, where your average guy's experience with his orgasm is like not one tenth of what it could be. And so while it may be true that it's a lot easier for most men to have orgasms than you know, your average woman, at the same time, women who do learn to connect to their sexuality and to their orgasm have a tendency to have better orgasms. And, you know, I think that this is about really us both men and women really learning more about our own bodies and learning more about each other's bodies and both rising together.
Dad, do you ever find that you have to help men understand that there's a separation between orgasm and ejaculation?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's the third key of my course. there's a definite distinction between ejaculation and orgasm. They're actually controlled by different aspects of the nervous system. Ejaculation you can think of as simply the expulsion of fluid. So that's like, you know, that semen, the fluid coming out of your penis. And orgasm is a pleasurable feeling that hopefully moves through your body, that shoots up through your body. Or maybe you just feel it like genitally or in or around your pelvis. Sort of, well, you know, hey, join our Catholic mastery course. And you can learn more about how to experience that as a full body thing, have these full body orgasms. But yeah, so ejaculation is that expulsion of that fluid. Orgasm is that energetic peak of pleasure in your body.
Right, and you can actually achieve an orgasm just by breath alone. Do you
mm-hmm.
keep that as well?
I've done a lot of work around breath only, like what I was calling breathgasms. I haven't been giving it as much of my attention lately because, you know, I'm on other projects right now. But within the course, I do teach about how men can experience non-ejaculatory orgasms or orgasms without that expulsion of fluid. And some of the big pluses, like, you know, some guys maybe listen like, well, why would I want to do that? And, like, you know, some of the big reasons is because, well, most men, after they ejaculate, start to lose their erection. And if you don't ejaculate and have an orgasm, it's like you get that high pleasurable experience, but you can usually maintain your erection as well. And on top of just maintaining the erection, whereas with ejaculation, you know, most men end up feeling energetically drained. With these non-ejaculatory orgasms, you end up feeling energized. So, and the last thing I just want to say is that, to be clear, I'm not anti-ejaculation, which,
You're not what?
I'm not anti-ejaculation.
Oh, anti-ejaculation.
No. I think ejaculatory orgasms.
Right. I mean, the whole idea that a man should not ejaculate, that's kind of a tantric concept, isn't it?
Yeah. It's particularly a Taoist concept that they should not. That you need to conserve the energy in that way. Like, I'm all about choice. I'm all about expanding your palette of possibilities. If suddenly it went from you ejaculate every time because that's all there is, to now I'm never supposed to ejaculate, that's not more choice. That's
absolutely
just a different prison.
Right.
So
it's more dogma.
Exactly. I think ejaculatory orgasms can be incredible, and I love them. And I love being able to have non-ejaculatory orgasms as well. It's this smorgasbord. It's like so many women, you know, I'm sure you know the experience, Veronica, as well. Like, you know, women experience different kinds of orgasms.
Oh, absolutely.
Men, too, can experience these different kinds of orgasms.
Yes.
Let's expand their possibilities.
Well, and I you know, I think that's really the whole point here, is that people have really just kind of put what I call the sexual ghetto. You know, it's like orgasms are related to sexual behavior. It has to be put into a separate room and a separate part of our lives. And, you know, we're not allowed to have this orgasmic, joyful, pleasurable existence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if that resonates with you or not.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. Like, we have so many rights and wrongs when it comes to sex, and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And the biggest thing I want you, if you're listening to this, to really think about is, like, where did your feeling of what's right or what's wrong sexually come from? Is it yours? Is it what you think? Or is it just, you know, some message that was ingrained in you a long time ago and just hasn't really been thought about since? And how can we fully release that and, you know, step deeper and deeper into that shame-free zone where your choices, are you?
I think it's really interesting.
Where your choices are your choices.
Yes.
And
your erotic evolution, which, by the way, you are the third person that I've talked to this week that I started using that about 3 years ago. I just met somebody else who started using it 2 years ago. I'm assuming you've been using it for a while, too.
Wow.
Like, well,
I love that, actually.
Huh?
I said, you know, honestly, I love that. You know what I mean? There's more and more discussion around, like, the evolution of our species and the evolution of our consciousness, and I think that an evolution of our sexuality needs to be a part of that conversation.
Absolutely, and obviously several of us really love alliteration.
expand into your erotic evolution.
Exactly, it's very important. So what do you think the implications are for, now, you know, for some of the people that are listening to here, they may be thinking, oh, wow, can I be an erotic rock star and only have one lover, or do I have to be polyamorous and have a bunch of lovers? And work with people who are monogamous?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. I've been monogamous I've had monogamous relationships for much of my life. You know, learn to love deeply and love more and allow yourself to be loved more and love yourself more. Learn to experience more passion in your life and in your sexuality. And learn to open to your feeling of connection with divinity and all, you know, the universe, all that is, other people. And, you know, you put that together, it's not about how many people you bed. It's not about how many partners you have. It's about how you love them and how you show up for them and how you fuck them.
Well said.
I'll do my best.
Very funny. You're having a lot of fun here on the adult channel, aren't you?
Why not?
Might as well.
What's the point? Exactly. I didn't exactly choose the path of sex so I could be bored.
Well, there you go. And I'll bet you haven't been bored a moment, have you?
No, I don't think so.
Well, now, tell us a little bit more about the performance art. Now, is that the DVDs that you're working on, or do you? Because I'm looking at a picture here from your website where it looks like you've got a microphone in your hand, your chest is bare, and you're up on a stage. So what's going
on there?
Yeah, I'm
sure that's happened. I have done so many things in my life. In that particular moment, I believe that was taken in October at the Exotic Erotic Expo and Ball in San Francisco.
Ah.
And I did a performance in the on the VIP stage Saturday night of 2012 is like my foray into the musical realm. That, you know, no, it is not my main identifier, but, you know, you play with the erotic rock star archetype long enough and, yeah, well, you know, it's gotta be played with eventually, right?
So were you singing?
Yes, I was.
You were singing. What kind of music?
Mm-hmm. It's me over electronic beats, let's put it that way.
Okay.
With a strong erotic twist, of course.
Now come on, is this karaoke or are you writing your own stuff?
No, it's not karaoke. I was really, you know, I play with my breath. I play with my sound. And of course, my words are about being your erotic rock star. But I'm not going to do a little demo here, because you got to catch me in the moment for that one.
Oh, fine. Fine.
Yeah.
You're no fun. No, I'm sure you are. But, so, do you...
Well,
do
a moment
other...
ago, you're saying I'm never boring. Now you're like, you're telling me I'm no fun.
I know. I'm totally lying. I'm just trying to pull it out of you.
Yeah.
What do you... Well, performance art, you must actually, like, occasionally get on the stage in San Francisco somewhere and...
I live in L.A. these days, but... Yes,
oh, L.A. Okay. I'm sorry. The 415 threw me there.
Yeah, it's been 8 years in the Bay Area.
And we all keep our cell phones, don't we? Because I'm living out here in a 530, and I still have a 415 myself. So, okay, well... What kind of performance art do you do? Aside from what was in
that
picture, what kind of performance art do you do?
Yeah, well, it always has some sort of sexy or erotic edge, and often includes me taking off some level of my clothing. Or,
oh, nice.
or wearing some sort of crazy outfit, or maybe wearing some crazy outfit and taking off parts of it or more.
Right. Now, do you do magic or something, because some of the pictures...
You're speaking of the crystal ball in my hands and
yes.
Some of the photos on the streaming. I started playing with these crystal balls a few years ago, and brought it into my performance art for sure, as well as anytime on the dance floor. It's part of my performance. It's also part, it's honestly part of my spiritual path. I utilize that ball as a tool for meditation, for stilling my mind. I guess it's known as contact juggling, and to be able to move this ball like around my body and to allow it to roll over fluidly, like on and over my hands, and it requires absolute presence. It requires for you to be fully in the moment, in full awareness of the most subtle of sensations. And if you're there, then you can't be lost up in your head somewhere.
Right. Well, and I'm sorry to change the topic here, but you also have a really nice ass. So what is the gas mask looking thing that you have over your cock? What's going on here? For those of you who are listening, you want to check out this. I'm looking at www.eroticrockstar.com. Eroticrockstar.com. These are the pictures on the front page of your website. This is a picture of you with this absolutely gorgeous body, and you've got a gas mask over your cock, and it looks like there's a huge snake coming out of it.
Well, first of all, good on you for getting that as a gas mask. I have had people tell me all sorts of things. What is that? Is that a vacuum cleaner? Is that from... is that your cock? Yes, that's my cock. I'm sorry, it's a weird deformity I was born with.
You're an elephant! They have a prehensile penis, you know.
Yeah, there you go. it's a gas mask, and that's the hose of the gas mask. I refer to that to that pick as ready for the revolution. And, you know, it's performance art for me. Performance art for me, or most artistic endeavors, I find can be a little less impactful if the artist is telling you what they were meaning to do versus
right.
allowing you to just draw your own conclusions.
Right.
Take from it what
okay.
you want.
So it's art. I get it. It's
and
art,
honest,
which means
I
won't get
reasons,
a straight answer.
One of the major reasons why, you can find, on the media page, on the media page of the eroticrockstar.com website, you'll see a whole bunch of photos. And one of the major reasons why I've played with, erotic modeling or erotic photography is because it's really been a big part of my own erotic exploration, a big part of my own exploration of this erotic rock star. How can I play with him in new ways? Oh, yeah, put a camera in front of me, and that gives me a way to play with him in new ways.
Absolutely. And when you're talking about loving yourself, I know that for myself, my forays into the world of porn, and, as far as doing erotic videos and whatnot, it definitely built a lot of confidence, changed my relationship with my own body so that I found the sex was a lot hotter because of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What makes sex hotter is your ability to enjoy it, and how much can you enjoy it when you're stuck in that place of shame, when you're stuck in your fears, your concerns, your worries, your am I good enough things, how am I looking right now, does my partner really like me, or are they attracted to me, et cetera. When you're there, how can you really enjoy it? And I promise you this, that if you're having sex with someone, they want you to be there with them. They want you to enjoy it. Because if you're not, it's a lot harder for them to really enjoy it.
True.
And if you're really enjoying it, that's contagious.
It is. And I think what a lot of people don't realize is let's say you do want to fuck like a porn star, God forbid. But if that is your, one of the things that I think, oops, hold on a second here. I just launched a tab to see that you're going to be on the same radio show that I'm being interviewed on later this month myself, on Jaya, S-E-X by Jaya.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
So, sorry about that. We started bringing in another radio program. That's one of the hazards of trying to cruise a website while you're doing a radio show. But what I was going to say is that, sometimes having sex, even when you're having sex with a partner, there's no harm in making love to yourself at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not only is there no harm in it, there's a lot of help in it.
There
a lot
is.
Of good in it.
And, it's great to have mirrors, to look at your body, to love your body, to appreciate your body. And there's no reason you can't be the erotic rock star in your own sexual fantasies.
Please do.
Well, we had a couple of bumps in the road here, and we tend to run a little bit long on this show anyway. So we're about two minutes after 10 here, and we're going to go for about another maybe 4 minutes or so.
Okay.
And so I want to give you a chance to bring up any things you think I missed, should have asked you about, and then maybe segue into ways that people can contact you and also sign up for that Costa Rican couples getaway that you described.
Let's start there because it's the thing I'm most excited about at the moment, that and the production company. But we would love to have you join us, me and my lover, in Costa Rica, July 6th through 13th. Check it out at sexyretreats.com, sexyretreats.com. And that's in Dominical, Costa Rica, for Divine Worship and Sweet Surrender, the Power of Giving and Receiving. And other than that, you can contact me anytime through my website at eroticrockstar.com. Again, easy enough to remember. And if you're a man and you're interested in learning more about your erotic energy, having that true ejaculatory choice, as well as learning to experience more full-body orgasms, non-ejaculatory orgasms, or even the holy grail of male multiple orgasms, join the Orgasmic Mastery course and connect with the other men who are on the same journey and learn, a treasure trove of tips, techniques, tricks that you can integrate and implement into your body to, just completely take your sex life to a whole new level. So that's simply orgasmicmastery.com. So please do contact me through any of the above, and if there's a way that I could be of service to you on your path, I'd love to. I'd love to be there.
You've got a lot of websites, Guy.
my work is about helping people in the world improve their connection to their sexuality, and I'm doing it in every way I possibly can.
Well, and you're doing a great job, too. Now, are you going to be having any upcoming performances on the stage that people could come
to? I am in conversation at the moment about, I might be doing an event in San Francisco on June 25th, but it's not confirmed yet, so I want to wait and wait for that to be confirmed.
You have to let me know, because I'm not that far from San Francisco, and I'd love to come up. See your work.
Okay, wonderful. I would love that. I would love that. And for any of you on the West Coast, particularly if you're in Southern California, at the end of this month, there's an event in Southern California called Lightning in a Bottle, simply lightninginabottle.org, and I will be speaking on a panel and possibly giving another presentation there as well. And I would certainly love for you to join us for running around in the forest and we'll just see how it gets down on the dance floor as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, Lightning in a Bottle, what are you going to be talking about on that panel?
Erotic evolution.
It seems to be contagious right now.
Good. I think it should be contagious. If you could contract anything sexually, make it erotic evolution.
Absolutely. It's going viral. You want to make sure that you get it. Well, Justin, you've had a great sense of humor. You've been very patient with our technical difficulties here at BBS Radio, and I appreciate the lack of shame and the beautiful presence and energy that you've brought into the shame-free zone tonight. And I wish you well with the DVDs that you're going to be releasing from the Erotic Star. Erotic Rockstar Productions. When those come out and you get ready to promote them,
I will send you a copy.
The show. Yeah.
You got it, and I'll send you a copy.
Oh, yeah, please do. Only thing you have to promise me that the Facebook fans are going to get to see a couple of stills that we can post up for them while we do
you
the
got
show.
It. Okay. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
All right, well, rock on, Destin.
Thank you. Rock on yourself, Veronica.
I plan on it. Thank you so much. Good night.
Thank you. Have a beautiful night. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with you.